Hare Krishna. Today is the auspicious disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri, who is a very important spiritual master in our line. He was the spiritual master of Sri Ishwara Puri, who was so blessed by Srila Madhavendra Puri, especially at the time of his passing away, that Ishwara Puri became was accepted as the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So there is a long chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita dedicated to the devotional service of Srila Madhavendra Puri. But the more detailed description of Srila Madhavendra Puri's last pastimes comes in the Antya-lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita in a chapter called Ramachandra Puri Criticizes the Lord. And how Srila Madhavendra Puri's last pastimes fit in the context of Ramachandra Puri's criticizing the Lord will be revealed in the course of the class. The reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya-lila, Chapter 8. Text 1. Tambande Krishna Chaitanya Brahmachandya Puri Vayat Lokika Harata Swamyo Bhikshanam Samakochayat. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who reduced his eating due to fear of the criticism of Ramachandra Puri. Text 17. The characteristic of Ramachandra Puri was that first he would induce someone to eat more than necessary, and then he would criticize the person. Now this is not a very congenial habit that Ramachandra Puri had. Yet Ramachandra Puri was a disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri, and therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected him on the same level as his spiritual master, because he was a godbrother of his own spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. So how could someone coming in such an exalted lineage become so fallen that he would criticize all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya for overeating? And he ultimately criticized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced his eating. He cut his eating in half, which caused great distress to the other devotees. And they advised him, why do you pay attention to Ramachandra Puri. He's just a fault finder. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like, no, he's my well-wisher. He's the godbrother of my spiritual master, and he's my well-wisher. I must take heed of what he's saying. But as soon as Ramachandra Puri left town, left Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other devotees felt relieved of a great burden, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began eating his normal portions. And of course, when he reduced his eating, so all the other devotees reduced theirs, because, you know, how could they be indulging when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was restricting himself? But when Ramachandra Puri left town, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to eat as before, to his heart's content, and all of his devotees did as well. So how could Ramachandra Puri, coming in such an exalted lineage, become such a problem? So that is explained in relation to Srila Madhavendra Puri's last days. Text 18. Formerly, when Madhavendra Puri was at the last stage of his life, Ramachandra Puri came to where he was staying. Madhavendra Puri was chanting the holy name of Krishna, and sometimes he would cry, "Oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura." Ramachandra Puri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master, which is a great offense. Text 21. Tumi purna brahmananda karaha smarana brahmavidhana kene karaha lodana. Ramachandra Puri said, if you are in full transcendental bliss, you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, a Brahman realized person is always happy. Nasochati nakanshati. He neither laments nor aspires for anything. Not knowing why Madhavendra Puri was crying, Ramachandra Puri tried to become his advisor. Thus he committed a great offense, for a disciple should never try to instruct his spiritual master. So, what Ramachandra Puri witnessed was his spiritual master crying in ecstatic feelings of separation for Krishna. He was actually in the mood of Srimati Radharani when she was in separation from Krishna. But Ramachandra Puri could not appreciate the transcendental feelings of separation expressed by his spiritual master, and he mistook them for ordinary material lamentation. And so he foolishly advised him to be fixed in Brahman, which is the effulgence of the transcendental form of Krishna. And in other words, Madhavendra Puri was way beyond that. Suni Madhavendra Mani Krodha Upajila Dura Dura Papista Bali Bartsana Karila. Hearing this instruction, Madhavendra Puri, greatly angry, rebuked him by saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal." Purport of Srila Prabhupada. Ramachandra Puri could not understand that his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, was feeling transcendental separation. Ramachandra Puri was not sufficiently expert to understand the feelings of Madhavendra Puri, but nevertheless he thought himself very advanced. Therefore, regarding Madhavendra Puri's expressions as ordinary material lamentation, he advised him to remember Brahman, because he was latently an impersonalist. Madhavendra Puri understood Ramachandra Puri's position as a great fool, and therefore immediately rebuked him. Such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the betterment of the disciple. Now, it's mentioned in the verse, Krodha Upajila, that hearing these words from Ramachandra Puri, anger arose within the heart of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Now, anger is another thing that impersonalists do not appreciate. They don't understand transcendental anger. And there was an incident that took place in New Delhi at the first Pandal, which is very instructive, but due to time limitations, we won't describe the whole event. But basically, a sort of rough-looking Westerner, I don't know, from Australia, or, I'm not sure, but he was wearing like a chain around his neck and like black leather, and so when Srila Prabhupada was giving his lecture, this young man approached the stage. And immediately the devotees went to keep him away. And Srila Prabhupada said, "No, let him come." So he climbed on the stage. Then Prabhupada said, "Give him asana." So the devotees gave him a cushion, and then Prabhupada said, "Give him microphone." So the young man immediately challenged Srila Prabhupada. he asked him, how old is the Bhagavad Gita? Srila Prabhupada answered, 5,000 years old. And then the young man said, no. According to my information, it's such and such. Then, anyway, there was some back and forth. And eventually, he asked Prabhupada, another challenging question. And Srila Prabhupada replied, no. First you answer my question. What is the process for understanding the Bhagavad Gita? And the man said, no. I ask you first. You answer my question. And Prabhupada said, I'm not your servant. You answer my question. So then the man started to lose his temper and shout. And then Prabhupada motioned, remove him. So he came and placed him back in the audience. Now what happened was that the audience became polarized. And I was in the audience. I was actually distributing books. And a lot of people in the audience actually sympathized with the young man. And because they had this idea of the spiritual master or saintly person shouldn't get angry. And so they started to sort of mob us. They said, Guru Maharaj shouldn't have got angry, he lost his temper. And it was really very uncomfortable for us. So I and a couple of other of the distributors, we made our way towards the stage. And meanwhile, the other part of the audience, they were sitting very attentively, listening to Srila Prabhupada, who explained the process for learning the Bhagavad Gita, which is, submissive oral reception. Tadviti panita patena pariprashnena sevaya. And by allowing the young man to exhibit his challenging spirit, Srila Prabhupada staged a demonstration of how not to approach a spiritual master. What is not the process of learning the Bhagavad Gita? Now, at the time, there were some politicians who had come forward to help with the Pandav. And they were, there were, 20,000 people every night. And they were thinking if they're identified with Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, then, all the pious people will support them in the election. And one of the disciples even told Srila Prabhupada that, these politicians, they're just, they're trying to use us to advance their own political careers. And Srila Prabhupada said, we don't mind. If someone benefits materially from our association and we don't lose, we don't mind. Now, after this altercation with the other man, some of the politicians became agitated because they thought, you know, being associated with Srila Prabhupada, which we thought was going to advance our political careers, like it may be backfiring. So one of the politicians, he lost his temper, sort of, yeah. And he started shouting at Malati Devi Dasi, saying, "Your Guru Maharaj has ruined everything." And Malati replied, "My Guru Maharaj has not ruined anything." And she slapped him across the cheek. And I was really impressed. I thought, this is transcendental anger. This is a real disciple. So ordinary people on the material platform, you know, they think anger is a no-no. You know, you can't be angry, or, you know, lamentation is a no-no. They don't know that these things have an original reality on the spiritual platform. And they're exhibited by pure devotees. And to mistake those manifestations of transcendental love as material lamentation, material anger, you know, creations of the modes of passion and ignorance, is very offensive. And unfortunately, Ramachandra Puri made that mistake with his spiritual master. Madhavendra Puri continued, "Oh, my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode, Mathura. I'm dying in my unhappiness, and now this rascal has come to give me more pain." Then Madhavendra Puri addressed Ramachandra Puri, "Mora murka na dekhabi tui yao yati tati, thore deke maile more ave asad gati. Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life." Now, this is very heavy. But as Srila Prabhupada wrote earlier, that the chastisement of the spiritual master is certainly for the betterment of the disciple. And as I've read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, many of us, I'm sure, have had the same experience, I see more and more how Srila Prabhupada exhibited the same sorts of transcendental qualities as even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Although Srila Prabhupada maybe never rejected a disciple, because he's so merciful. Once there was a disciple who — this was in Juhu, actually. I won't go into the details, but he was behaving in a very strange way. So we'll go back a little. One of Prabhupada's early disciples from America had come to India and was in Calcutta. And the temple president phoned Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, which is very rare to phone Srila Prabhupada, and informed Srila Prabhupada that the disciple was smoking ganja, I guess hashish, something. And he didn't know what to do, because he was a very senior devotee. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Tell him that if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, I will reject him." Then after the phone call, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, "Is it true that you would reject him?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "No. I cannot reject anyone." And Tamal Krishna Goswami asked, "But don't you have to draw the line somewhere?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "The mercy of Lord Nityananda has no limit." Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yes.
But here, yes, so Srila Madhavendra Puri has at least externally rejected Ramachandra Puri. Now, listen to what happened next. Text 26. Ramachandra Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri. Due to his offense, gradually material desires appeared within him. Now, this is a very important point for all of us. Of course, we're discussing Srila Madhavendra Puri, who is Mahabhagavata, devotee on the highest platform, and Ramachandra Puri, who was so audacious that he dared to instruct him. But we may also, in some ways, be guilty of the same type of mentality in a more subtle way. And so we may commit offenses. We may have doubts, and we might articulate them, or we might be afraid to articulate them, but we might keep them in our mind. Doubts even about Srila Prabhupada. But the result of offenses is that material desires gradually develop. And so we should be careful. And not only with, great exalted personalities like Srila Madhavendra Puri or Srila Prabhupada, but even with other devotees who may not strike us as being on the same level, we should be careful not to commit offenses against them, against any devotee, any bridge bossy, any animal in the Dham. They're all special souls. and we can get reactions. So I'm going to continue reading, but keep in mind that the instructions here can be relevant to us also. So, yes, 26. Brahmacharya Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri. Due to his offense, gradually material desire appeared within him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word vasana, material desires, refers to dry speculative knowledge. In other words, the desire for impersonal liberation is also a material desire. Speculative knowledge is only material. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4, a person without devotional service who simply wants to know things, kevala bodha labhyate, gains only dry speculative knowledge but no spiritual benefit. So then Srila Prabhupada quotes a series of verses to the effect that even one who's liberated, jivan mukti, even one who's liberated can fall down if he offends the Supreme Lord or the Lord's devotee. Then Prabhupada concludes, these are references from authoritative revealed scriptures. If one becomes an offender to his spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down to the material platform to merely speculate. Text 27. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus he is situated in criticism. Now, this topic of criticizing devotees may have relevance to us. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a series of essays called Bhaktiloka, in which he discusses two verses from the Upadeshamrita, the six factors or activities favorable for devotional service, and the six that are unfavorable. And within his discussion, he quotes other verses from the Upadeshamrita. But one of the six items that spoils devotional service is prajalpa. Prajalpa means, you could say, unnecessary talks. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzes different categories of prajalpa, or unnecessary talks. And dry arguments is one of them. But the one which is very critical is talking about others, that type of prajalpa. And basically, he said that we should not talk about others. And there's one place where he says, but if you are in a situation where you have to talk about others, meaning in a negative way. If you're in a situation where you have to speak about others, then better remain silent. In other words, no compromise. But then at the end, he does make an exception, but there are conditions to the exception. The exception is that in order to make a point clear, one may have to use a negative example. And without using the negative example, the point may not be clear. Actually, we're seeing it here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Śrīla Kṛṣṇadāsa Kaviraja Goswami is using a negative example to make an important point. So we might think, well, here's the loophole. And he says that even in a spiritual organization, one may have to point out the defects of a particular member of the organization. So one might think, okay, it's not as bad as I thought. There is scope. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has laid down certain conditions. And the conditions are that one's heart should be free from devotional impediments such as envy and pride. Now, so before we think that we can criticize a devotee, we should look within our hearts and see, am I free from envy? Am I free from pride? And he also mentions anger. Am I free from anger? If I'm not, then I should not criticize. Now there may be need. I mean, it's a little intricate, but there may be need to correct someone. But if you're not sure about your purity of heart, you should not rush to be the one to do it. You can approach a confidential friend whose heart is clean and say, I'm seeing this in this person. What I'm seeing, is it really there, or is it just a projection of my own envy? Or you may approach someone that, this is what I perceive, I don't know if it's accurate or not, please tell me. But you look at it, and if you think something needs to be done, then you do it, because you're the person's authority, you're the right person to deal with them. So, in general, we should be very careful on this point. Yes, especially with devotees, especially in the Dham. But even that, and therefore it's so important to have confidential friends with whom we can reveal our minds in confidence. Guhyam Akyati Prichati. And that atmosphere of having confidential friends of whom we can inquire in a situation like this, for example, where we perceive a fault, but we're not sure if it's really in the other person or it's just us. So we can only do that in a culture where there is no talking about others. Otherwise, you'll be afraid to open up to someone for fear that the person will, oh boy, I got a hot one now. Straight away on the internet, Facebook, whatever the venues are. Then people won't open up. They won't inquire confidentially out of fear. And then what will they do? They'll be keeping all these things inside without any resolution. So it's very important that we have a culture where there's no prajalpa. Where there's no prajalpa, where we can have confidential exchanges and check ourselves, you know, and see whether we are being influenced by things like envy, pride, anger, hatred, or not. But here, fortunately, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Mahavira Puri are completely pure devotees, and they are using this negative example only for our benefit. Now, so now we come to the other example. Text 28. Ishvara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performed service to Madhavendra Puri, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand. He was caring for his spiritual master in his last days. Ishvara Puri was always chanting the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna for Madhavendra Puri to hear. In this way, he helped Madhavendra Puri remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. So, Ishvara Puri was a perfect example of how a disciple serves his spiritual master at the end. And he also sets an example for all of us who may be in the position of trying to help someone at the end of their lives. You know, he took care of his spiritual master as a humble servant, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand, and at the same time chanted the holy name and pastimes of Krishna to help him fix his mind on Krishna at the end. And what was the result? Text 30. Pleased with Ishvara Puri, Madhavendra Puri embraced him and gave him the benediction that he would be a great devotee and lover of Krishna. Thus, Ishvara Puri became like an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, whereas Ramachandra Puri became a dry speculator and a critic of everyone else. Ishvara Puri received the blessing of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishvara Puri and Ramachandra Puri, are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. Now, we may commit offenses against devotees who are not on the platform of Śrīla Mādhavendra Puri, but we still get a reaction. Similarly, we may render service to devotees who are not on the level of Mādhavendra Puri, and we still get benedictions. And especially any devotee who comes to the Dham to leave his or her body in Krishna consciousness and the association of devotees is a special soul. Now, I'll give an example that illustrates the process, although it wasn't in Vrindavan and it wasn't with a devotee. But my father had a stroke, and then in the course of investigating whether they could give him blood thinners, they scanned his body for bleeding, and then they discovered that he had stomach cancer. So when he was sort of in his last days, he was in the hospital. And, you know, his family, our family, felt there should always be someone with him. And so I was the one. So he was, you know, he had his hospital bed, and there was a sofa in the room. So I lay down on the sofa near his bed. But he would have to get up very frequently to use the toilet. And he didn't have the physical strength to walk to the toilet on his own. So, you know, I was near him, and I was like in a state of constant alert, because if he needed to go to the bathroom, I had to be there to assist him. So I could not sleep. Anytime I heard a sound, I thought it might be him, and often it was him. And so I'd get up and I'd help walk him to the toilet. But sometimes he didn't reach in time. And then there was stool and urine on the floor, which I cleaned up. So it was very difficult not sleeping. Yeah, even if I dozed off for a few minutes, I'd hear something and wake up again. It was very physically exhausting and emotionally exhausting. And then, around sunrise, just some of the first rays of the sun came in the room. And my father said to me, "What would you do if I gave you $1,000,000? Now, it just so happened that His Holiness Radhanath Swami was in Chicago, actually visiting his father, when my father passed away. And afterwards, I related this story to him, and he said that it was just like Ishwara Puri taking care of Mādhavendra Puri. That, you know, he gave himself fully to that service, cleaning up his stool and urine. And Mādhavendra Puri gave him the greatest treasure of love for Krishna. So your father didn't have that treasure. He just had his monetary treasure, but still he wanted to give you that. So the point I'm making is that doing selfless service to a person, well, at any stage, but especially at the end of life, can bring benedictions, can bring blessings from the soul who's departed. Now, I know we're, I don't know if we're short of time or not, because time is eternal. Maybe it's just a mental concoction. So no, we're not short of time. We're not at all short of time. But still, I'll try to be brief. And now we'll come to the conclusion of this description. Text 33. His divine grace, Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of the entire world, thus distributed ecstatic love for Krishna. While passing away from the material world, he chanted the following verse. And this is the verse that's written on the board. But again, for the sake of devotees who have other service coming up, we won't recite it responsibly. But I'll just read the verse and translation. Ayi dina dayadra natha he, mathura natha kadavalok yase, fridayam twad aloka kataram, dayita brahmyati kim karom yam. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do? Text 35. In this verse, Madhavendra Puri teaches how to achieve ecstatic love for Krishna. By feeling separation from Krishna, one becomes spiritually situated. So this is a very important principle. Srila Krishnadasa Kaviraj Goswami says it here, and Srila Prabhupada has said it in numerous places, on numerous occasions, that to develop love for Krishna, one should develop feelings of separation from Krishna. Once at the Ardha Kumbh Mela with Srila Prabhupada in 1971, and we were really new in India, and there were all these like sadhus and yogis, and so one man came to our camp. And he said he chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He followed the same regulated principles that we followed. He seemed to be a real proper devotee. He said different things, and so we approached Srila Prabhupada and told him. But then we told Srila Prabhupada that the man announced that he had seen Krishna. And when Srila Prabhupada heard that, he said, he may be a pretender. In our mind, we don't say, I've seen Krishna. When he quoted the six Goswamis, the mood was always, where is Krishna? Hey Rad, hey Vrajate, hey Vikesha, hey Nandu, where is Krishna? Are you on the banks of the Jamuna? Are you like over down? Where are you? And thus they wandered all over Vrindavan, shouting loudly and looking for Krishna. So that is our mood. And that mood was exemplified on the highest level of Radharani's separation from Krishna by Srila Madhavendra Puri. But the principle is given to us to develop love for Krishna by feelings of separation. Text 36. Madhavendra Puri sowed the seed of ecstatic love for Krishna within this material world and then departed. That seed later became a great tree in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, yes, Madhavendra Puri is so important in our life. He introduced this mood of ecstatic separation from Krishna, the mood of Radharani. And elsewhere it's described that only three people in this world can actually understand the deep purport of this verse. Madhavendra Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srimati Radharani. No fourth person can really understand the depths of the purport of this verse. But we are here in Vrindavan Dham, and we are in the association of devotees, followers of Srila Prabhupada, who in turn is a follower of the six Goswamis and Srila Madhavendra Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should utilize every moment that we have here for the best purpose, and always chant and hear about Krishna, serve the devotees, and on the positive side and on the negative side, avoid the jalpa, and especially speaking about others. But speaking about others is restricted only if you're criticizing. If you want to glorify, you can speak as much as you want. Krishna and his devotees, you can glorify as much as we want. And go back home, back to God. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Radhananda Swami Maharaj.
Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that the spiritual master, one of his duties is to chastise the disciples. So, considering that duty, how does the spiritual master doesn't feel he's qualified to do that? How does he perform that duty?
Very good question. Very good question. Now, just to amplify the terms of the question, Srila Prabhupada once commented that the one part of being a spiritual master that he didn't like was having to correct his disciples, because they're all Vaishnavas, and he didn't like to have to correct them. But he did. And it is, and he would quote the Chanakya maxim that one should chastise sons and disciples. That will make them good. And if we just flatter them, they'll become spoiled. So you're right. It is our duty if we're in a position of authority and responsibility. Now, we should actually, I brought up the same question 2 days ago with His Holiness Niranjan Swami, who has given seminars on Bhakti Loka. And I raised the point that, you know, sometimes we need to correct disciples. And of course, if they're willing to accept it, then it's easy, because there's no resistance. But if there's resistance in them, that can cause a reaction in us. And we have to see whether that will actually be beneficial for them or not. So what he said was that with people who may not just accept on faith what you say, it's maybe worthwhile to discuss the different courses of action. For example, their present course of action and what the consequences are, and what another course of action could be, and what those consequences could be. And let them come to their own conclusion. Of course, he said, we hope they come to the right conclusion. But if they don't, we may have to intervene again. And we shouldn't wait too long, you know, before it gets too late. But he said that we should bring them to the point where they understand that the correction is for their benefit. Now, it may also be a valid alternative to ask someone else to do it for you. Once, many years ago, and this is not a comment on anyone, it's just an example. There might be better ones, but it just came to mind. But Tamal Krishna Goswami was visiting Bhaktivedanta Manor. And as his personal servant, he had a disciple of Shivaram Swami. And I was sort of surprised, because I knew that Tamal Krishna Goswami had other disciples there who could have served him. So I said, well, why are you, you know, why are you engaging the disciple of Shivaram Swami? And Jamal Krishna Swami replied, because he feels I can train them in a certain way that he can't. And so that's but on our level, I mean, that idea of guhyam akyati prichati, you know, confide in some confidential god brother that, you know, I'm seeing this in my disciple. I feel I need to intervene, but, you know, I just want to see how you see it, and just to make sure that, you know, your perception is clear and your approach will be beneficial. So, I think as a rule that's a good approach. Just consult could be a disciple, could be a bhakta, it could be anyone. But it's very important that we say, if they need to hear something and it will benefit them, that we say it. But we say it in the right way and in the right consciousness. But I can tell you, on a personal level, you have a disciple in Dallas. And he is often seen walking around with an iPod with earphones in his ears. And quite often he'll come up to me and he'd be in a very exuberant mood and he said, I had this question, I just couldn't get the answer. And I was listening to Guru Maharaj's tape and I got the answer, just what I needed. So that's another way I've seen with some gurus. They're very gentle in their personal interactions, but then they can be very straightforward in giving a class. And if the disciple is sincere enough when hearing the class, he'll understand, oh, you know, Guru Maharaj is chastising me. And I felt like that when Prabhupada was speaking. I feel like that when I'm reading his books. I feel like my false ego is being given a very rough time. But I know it's good for me, so I come back for more. Hare Krishna. Yes. There's two.
Thank you for your last one. Why was Ramachandra Das not a devotee of Mathurana Krishna?
Ramachandra Puri? Why was he? Well, you know, in bhakti, everything depends on the consciousness. And we might have theoretical knowledge, but underneath we may have tendencies towards impersonalism or sense gratification. So, yes, on a certain intellectual level, we may have some philosophical understanding, but within our heart, we may have, you know, tendencies towards sense gratification or impersonal speculation. I mean, once I was with His Holiness Lord Govinda Swami Maharaj, and I was mentioning like the five most potent forms of devotional service, and one of them is Mathura Vas, residing in Mathura. And he looked straight at me and he said, Kamsa also lived in Mathura. So it's not the external, but it's the internal state of consciousness.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the discussion, Maharaj. You were speaking about the importance of giving up the Prajapa culture to increase the trust amongst one another in our interactions. My question is that, in my observation, a lot of us next generation devotees, we're so under-edified into the Prabhupada's books and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness that our only recourse for our speech is Prajapa, because we don't have enough sufficient taste, let's say, for Harikatha or a sufficient understanding when we feel inspired to actually engage in that way with one another. And sometimes I feel that it's augmented by we have a lot of services that also have to be required to do. So although it is important to give up the culture of Prajapa, how will that practically be affected unless we are educated in Krishna consciousness in a more substantial sort of way?
Well, you know, leave aside others, you know that glorifying Krishna and devotees is favorable, and criticizing devotees is unfavorable. So you should, you know, if you're going to speak, then speak in a favorable way about Krishna and his devotees. Speak about devotional service. If you think that you can't see anything good in anyone, then maybe you need to look into your own heart and ask yourself, why I don't see anything good in anyone. But if you do see something good, and I'm sure you do, then you can talk about it. I think 3 nights ago, a god brother came, and I don't know, I just mentioned someone who I met here after a while, and just like saying what a special soul he was and glorifying the person. And I was saying there are like so many special souls in this movement. And it sort of opened the floodgates in a positive way. And then for the next half hour, we were just talking about all the great souls in the movement and how special they are and how wonderful they are. And that godbrother commented that, you know, what a relishable conversation we're having. So it's just a matter of practice, of discipline. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, austerity of speech. It may be an austerity, but once we get used to it, we like it. Is that all right? If you think there's lack of education, it's quite clear from your question and your way of phrasing your question that you're quite intelligent and articulate. So maybe this is an indication that you could take up this service and give that proper education to the devotees so that they know what to speak about and what not to speak about. Hare Krishna. Okay, last question.
Hare Guru Maharaj, you mentioned about developing relations and bringing one mind as mind. So as part of that is actually when we speak with each other, we also reveal our minds and we also discuss things around us. But that discussion about things around us can also turn into prajalpa. So how can we be careful in such a situation?
How can you what?
Be careful of not getting into prajalpa.
You know, there's two sides to prajalpa. There's speaking and there's hearing. Now, you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all of our acharyas and scriptures warn us about speaking about others, criticizing devotees. But it's also an offense to hear criticism of devotees. And if someone is in the mood of speaking some sort of criticism to you, how you respond will affect how that person proceeds. If he says, boy, I really heard something about so-and-so, and you say, really? What was it? That's going to encourage him. And if he says, boy, I really saw so-and-so do something he shouldn't have done. And if your response is, do I need to hear this? So then he'll think, do I need to say this? And that may stop it right there. So it's a matter of culture, developing that culture. It's a matter of knowledge of the consequences of our actions, and it's a matter of discipline and association. You know, if you have a certain weakness, and you know other people have a similar weakness, so maybe don't go there so much, but be with people who don't have that weakness. And by associating with them, you'll learn how to glorify and appreciate devotees. And so yeah, it's a big community, and there are wonderful devotees here, and you can find them if you so desire. So thank you very much. Please forgive me for my offenses and engage me in your service. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada.